Thank you, everyone. Why don't you come up front and take a seat if there are questions from the audience. Maybe we can turn on the lights in the room a little more. We have two microphones on the side if there are questions in the audience, which I still can't quite see. For me, what's interesting about all these presentations, as broad they are, is kind of the flexibility and diversity and adaptiveness that drawing can play in all of them. And I think that's really the beauty, not only of the medium and of the collection that the medium that tried to show that in the medium, but also kind of how in each individual artist's work, I think drawing can take on different roles and different things at all moments. And I think some of you addressed that more specifically, and in other cases, it only came out sort of, you know, by way of presentation and by way of showing that. But I think if anything, then this only enforces the notion that drawing really is a medium that somehow is not only at the very basis of the artistic process, but also is able to really range across, I think, all disciplines of other art making. And I think that's one of the wonderful things of, you know, not only the exhibition and the collection, but also of these presentations, that it allows that connection to be made again. I guess I mean that by way more of a comment than of a direct question, unless you all want to talk specifically about your relationship to drawing. But I want to see if there are other questions in the audience to give them. Yes, please. Can you hear, or you have to?
I don't make drawings very often, so I didn't really have many other drawings to show.
What do you think of the lecture?
It made me very anxious. I had very little sense of how long 20 seconds, what that would feel like. I tried to practice by looking at my watch, and I couldn't, just sort of was very frustrating, and I just kind of gave up. So,
I think I like that you incorporated the rigidity of the lecture format in your presentation and just interrupted yourself in mid-sentence and moved on. I think that gave a certain conceptual rigor to the presentation that I think was very appropriate. I like that very much.
I hope I'm not incorrectly generalizing, but there seems to be a sense of There seems to be a sense of obsessive and maybe compulsive work behind everything I saw. And I wonder if any of you think that making art is fun, right? If you have a good time while you're doing it.
I'm sure you have things to say too, but I have been labeled an obsessive artist way too many times. I think just because you work hard on something doesn't mean you're obsessive. And I have a lot of fun. Sometimes you have to do what is necessary. You know, I think that's part of what leads to an intricate result. If that's what, and there are artists on this among us who are interested in intricacy or hard work.
I think the obsessiveness is kind of functional. Obsession, you know, psychological obsession. I think there's a difference when you're making a work that has incredible amount of detail and fabrication. It's not a negative thing. I mean, I feel myself, I have these kinds of obsessions in work, in a work way, but they are absolutely functional, and they don't feel pathological at all. So there is, you know, there is a feeling of pleasure, strange pleasure, but pleasure nonetheless.
I would just add that, yeah, I think it's, if you have...
Can you take the microphone?
If you have any of those inclinations at all, it's just sort of a healthy place to sort of place it, and it does kind of, you know, turn something that could potentially be negative into positive, if you're labeling it or, you know.
Well, I just to add to that, I think that, you know, if you go back in the history of art, the massive quantity of time that gets put into ambitious work is very often been hidden over time. So if you look back at traditional painting, you know, over the last God knows how long, those artists may have put way more time into a piece than I put into the average drawing. And the difference is that I try to often put that quantity of work on the surface of the piece so that it's one of the first things that you see, because I think that there's a certain power in the work that can come from that. So I don't like to hide all the artifice, if you will, that goes into creating a piece. And I also, since I was a kid, always felt like the truth of life, at least in part, is that a lot of it is boring, and you have to contend with that. And the fact is that in the artist studio, and I assume that at least some of us would agree, you know, it's the boredom and the hard work is just part of getting to the point of having finished work, and it's not really avoidable. So,
there was a question all the way in the back there.
Yeah, this was a question for Joan. I was interested in what you were saying about the Metropolis sets and the trick tableaus, and wondered if you could elaborate a little bit on that.
Yeah, I saw them. My husband and I made.
Can you bring the microphone a little closer?
It was my first trip to Berlin, and we went to the cinema. They have a cinema museum, and a man named Eric Kettlehut in 1927 was a scenic designer for Fritz Lang, and he created. I don't exactly know what the paint was that he used that didn't dry. I just assumed that it probably had a lot of oil in it, and so he created these sets. These, I don't know if they were matte shots or background shots, but they were able to change them slightly every single day, so that, I don't know, if you look closely at Metropolis, you'll see that there are very strange discontinuities in the film. And I think it was from wiping these images clear and then remaking them. So it's called Trickzeichnung, which means trick tableaus. That's how it was translated. It was really quite fascinating.
Are there more questions? Do you have questions to each other? Which have come up in the past often, that at some point when I was like, oh, there's something and I always wanted to ask.
I didn't know that Joan was a big fan of J.G. Ballard's, but it made so much sense. So what's your favorite J.G. Ballard book? I'm a huge fan, too.
I don't know. Maybe the first one was great, The Drowned World, but also Day of Creation and Supercan, which is where the title of the painting, the last painting that I showed, comes from Supercan. Eden Olympia was... an elite spa for burnt-out corporate CEOs in France. And they would go there, and they would do absolutely outrageous things. I mean, violence, sex, drugs. And it's a very chilling book, but I just love his writing and the strange mood. The last book that he wrote was called Kingdom Come, and it's about mall culture and fascism, and how people get sort of brainwashed at malls, and so it's very strange. Which one is yours?
I've been reading his short stories lately, and I've just been blown away by them. But I keep thinking about The Wind, which is a book that he disavowed, I think, or he said he hated. And the Drowned World is about when the world is drowned, too much water. Then he wrote The Drought, when there was no water. Then he wrote The Wind, when the wind starts blowing, and it just goes faster and faster and faster until the entire earth is scraped clean. And it's so he's an artist of extremity. And I think my favorite is High Rise, which is about a power failure in a high rise, and about 2 weeks later everybody's back in the Stone Age. It's really wonderful. The first line is, I think he says, as he sat on the balcony eating the roasted leg of his dog, Richard Wilbur reflected on the remarkable events that had taken place in the past 2 weeks. But I saw, as soon as you mentioned Ballard, I saw it in the paintings.
I'm glad you moved on from that. I didn't want to end it on that note. I have one question for Simone, which addresses specifically the relationship between the box and the drawings inside it. I think you brought it up several times, and given that that's one of the pieces that we have in the collection, if you could talk a little more about the relationship of that, the container and the contained. Do you see them at this point as equal parts, or do you still think of, you know, the container as something that became part of the work more kind of by accident and nudging from the outside rather than of your own choosing?
I tried to talk about it a little bit, but then with the format, I think I never quite made the point about how it did become part of it. I guess what I kind of think of the ideal is for someone to experience it, to be able to open it and go through it, so it has this interactive quality. So in that way, organically, it is all part of it. And then the table, when I showed the installation shot, that was a table from my studio, so you don't maybe know that there are drawings inside. It has become part of it by doing it. And I made 13 of them at this point. And does that answer it? I could elaborate. Yeah.
Are there any more questions? Then, thank you very much for coming. Thanks to the artists for participating. And go and visit the exhibition.